It is time to recap McCook's School Board of Education meeting for the month of March. Superintendent of Schools, Grant Norgaard. Didn't we just like see you like last week? It seems like it wasn't it that long time ago.
It goes so fast.
I know it.
Right? It's going really fast.
Of course, February is a shortened month, so you just take a couple of days away.
And it's been nice, and I think nice weather makes things go a little quicker. We get outside and get out in the fresh air a little bit more. I don't know. Time goes faster, maybe.
We were just talking before we went on here that... In your years of being a superintendent of schools, have you ever had a winter where there's been no snow days hardly at all?
Yeah, you know, I actually have. In fact, I would say the last few years where we've had five snow days, mm-hmm. that's been more unusual than not having any snow days at all. I've had years in the past where we didn't have any. Now, we haven't had many late starts. Now, late starts have always kind of been part of, rural Nebraska schools. And I know even now the metros are doing it to get kids in a little bit later, try to avoid some of those slick roads that are out in the morning, that we face in the morning. So haven't had many of those either. Mm-hmm. So this is a superintendent's dream, right?
We
love it when the weather, although I would like some rain. Would be nice. Just wet moisture would be nice.
Yeah.
But snow and ice, that can stay away.
I'm still hoping, and you are too, that sometime here in March and April, we get we unleash in the rains. Not the snow, but the rains come.
Well, there is hope still. Yeah. I know my longest snow day time periods where I've been out the longest period of days in a row, so 2 or 3 days, have always been in March because they would come in with, we'd have a heavy, wet snow and pile up to 17 inches, and it just took a few days to get everything dug out. So there's a chance for snow days still ahead.
We will see.
I don't want them, but I know some kids do.
We will see. And parents, too. Parents are kind of...
Yeah, they don't want them either. Parents want their kids at school. Maybe I'm wrong.
We got one out here that doesn't think that way.
Yeah, I know. I think that's fairly common. You know, it is unusual not to have at least one snow day.
Let's get the agenda from last night. We'll start first, public participation, presentations, and reports.
We did not have any public comments last night at the board meeting, so I'll kind of start off with our student board member report. We had spring sports has started. We started last week, and so track and tennis and golf and those events are all in full swing now. We haven't had any competitions yet, but kids are engaging in those activities. Our winter sports, he commented, our winter sports had great winter sports. We had competitive teams, competitive wrestlers, competitive basketball. So kids did a great job, we're excited about the spring sports starting up. Also talked about the high school students competed in Inter-High Day at North Platte. Had lots of kids from McCook go up there, and we compete with kids from the entire region. And I know Quinn's construction group, Quinn's our student board member, they actually came in first place. And I believe, I didn't ask him, I didn't get a chance to talk to him before he left last night from the board meeting, but I believe there are scholarships attached to those for like Mid Plains Community College and McCook Community College. So really excited for those kids. And then Math Magic. I think Math Magic's happening today in town with our high school students. Our high school students do math with the elementary students. They also do a reading activity that was, I think, maybe last week where high school students go and read with the kids. So he just commented on all those activities. Then we followed that up with a couple of presentations. The first presentation was from Mrs. Fisher, who's our science teacher, one of our science teachers at the high school. She was talking about our planning for a trip to Honduras in 2027, the summer of 2027. And this is the NOR trip. So we just had one this last summer. They went down to Baja, California. It was a great experience. And she wanted to present the next planned trip for a couple years away and also get permission from the board. You have to get permission from the board to go to these out-of-the-country events. And so tentatively, that'd be June 19th through 26th, or maybe a little bit later, June 26th through the 3rd, looking at taking anywhere from 12 to 22 students, and that'll be in Roton, Honduras, at an estimated cost about $4,000, a little over $4,000 per student. Of course, that can get a little bit more expensive if you're going to do some of the scuba diving and get certified and all those types of things. And then they align that with our science standards. She went into really nice detail concerning what the science standards are. There's biology research, marine mammal interactions such as dolphins, conservation efforts. They're going to be working with coral reef and coral reef restoration, and then just the cultural experiences. So, and also they do a, they have to do a research project while they're down there, write a paper, and they actually do a presentation, which is really, you know, a really neat activity that's going to force our kids to think deeply about the content that they're focused on. This is going to obviously be biology, marine biology, and then present that to put together a presentation and present that to their peers and also the teachers and other evaluators that are there. So that became an action item later on in the board agenda. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then they had another presentation from our from FFA. We had Mrs. Hoxwell there with Carson Waugh and Braxton Hoxwell, two young men that are seniors, but they're two young men that have presented for several years to the Board of Education. Came in, they did an amazing job talking about FFA and the competitions coming up. They talked about state competition coming up very soon. We've had over 30, I think 34 students qualify for the state competition, which is very exciting. Really strong chapter here in McCook. Those kids are doing an amazing job. The boys talked about how valuable this experience has been in FFA. They talked about the development of confidence, the development of verbal skills, and that was on full display last night for the board. Those young men spoke very clearly, with confidence, very commandingly, I would say, and showed a lot of respect to the board and earned a lot of respect from the board at the same time. They talked about all the opportunities kids have in FFA, all the scholarships that are available, and just multiple interactions to engage with the community and to develop their own leadership skills and, again, confidence skills. And one of the things that's exciting, too, they commented on last night, and I was able to attend this event. We had a jacket ceremony. We had 13 freshmen earn their blue jackets this year, and there's a process that those freshmen have to go to earn those jackets. And they had a ceremony a couple weeks ago where they were able to present and recite the creed. You also were able to see Parliamentary Pro from the members of the FFA group, and they did an amazing job. And Nash and students who place at state will have a chance to go to will qualify to compete at nationals, which is coming up. So for the winners of the state competitions, they can go to nationals. And so those are the presentations that took place last night at the beginning of the board meeting.
Next up, approval of expenditures payroll for the month of February, reports from staff members and committees.
Yeah, we had a few committee reports that we had to go through last night. Actually, we had quite a few. Mr. Gross, I'm going to kind of tie two of these together. We had a wellness meeting report. It's a triennial report, and I'm going to kind of mix that with the Food Service Advisory Committee. So we had basically with wellness and food services, we have to do meetings on a regular basis, where we bring in patrons, we bring in students, board members, staff members, and we just talk about our wellness policy, our wellness protocols and procedures, and they make sure that those are all aligned with sort of state, federal guidelines, and then discuss changes they might want to make to our wellness policies and procedures to enhance that. For the Food Service Advisory Committee, that's a lot more student engagement. Really go out and visit with our students about the food quality, any concerns that they have, strengths of the food program. And they kind of joked around last night. The kids didn't hold back. There were things that they really liked about the food service, obviously, but there were a lot of things that they thought, hey, let's make sure that when the high school kids are the last group to be able to go through that lunchroom, that all the bars are full, so the condiments are there, things are still warm or cold, and making sure that the quality of the food service is good every day. So occasionally we have some issues. Learned about what types of foods the students really don't like and what types of foods the students really like to see more of because they're popular with the kids. And so those two meetings took place, I think, last week or the week before. Great meetings, and Mr. Gross does a lot of work with that, along with Tyra Barger, who's our head nurse. And so wellness, food service committee reports last night. I spoke about, we had two other committee meetings that we spoke to. The first one was facilities. And facilities committee had a this is our kind of our end of the year report talking about all the things that we have planning coming up in the future, things that are going to be we do a lot of facilities improvements over the summer. And so we started with some completed projects. The YMCA parking lot is almost complete. There's a little bit of dirt work and we need to do some seating, but that parking lot has pretty much been poured and people are parking on it that are working on the project currently. So it is being utilized by folks. It's not open for public yet. And we probably won't have that open for any of the track meets this year, but next year for tennis and track, that's going to be a great addition for our families and our community. Talked about the JAG classroom has been updated for those students, and that so we have had a couple of rooms at the old Armory building, our McCook Learning Center, where we house the LIFT program. We took down a wall between there was at some point in time someone put up some paneling between and one room. We took that down, reopened it up back to its original space, put a classroom in there, and so really glad to put that back the way it was, carpeted it, put new lighting in it. It's a great classroom space for our kids in that JAG classroom. The wrestling building re-roof with new sheet metal screws has been completed, and we're updating our first grade classrooms. They're in the oldest part of McCook Elementary School, so we have sort of that north wing that's new, and then the kindergarten wing, which is on the sort of the south and west part of the building. But that old portion of McCook Elementary, we're updating some of those classrooms one at a time, and so we've completed a first grade classroom and we'll be moving on to the next first grade classroom. Projects coming up: HVAC on the front end system at the junior high school, still working through that. We didn't put a lot of energy into that before we attempted those bond to pass the bond, but now the bonds failed, so we need to invest in those HVAC units. Upcoming projects and infrastructure, we have classroom updates, we have roofing projects at the junior high. Again, we kind of put those off to see if the bond would pass. Now we need to make sure we keep the water out of the building. Water in the building doesn't help the structure. So we're putting new roofs on there. We'll be doing that probably late summer, maybe even into next school year, just a little bit. Wyland Field, we had a little issue with our bleachers on the southeast corner. So we're having some work done there to shore that up. Some dirt was being washed away and that big concrete stadium part of it was sliding a little bit, so we're shoring that up. And then we had an issue with some drinking fountains at the junior high. We have that area in the middle of the building that's sinking in. Those drinking fountains no longer work. We're trying to brainstorm and we're bringing in W Design to see if there's a way we can get those drinking fountains to work. So we need to fix the water lines and the sewer lines that go to those drinking fountains, and we need to do it in a way that won't lessen the integrity or weaken the integrity of that wall right there. So we're going to have some experts come in and kind of give us some guidance on how to do that. We're working on the bleachers at the junior high gymnasium. Those bleachers need to be replaced. Our maintenance crew took out the old bleachers that are on the gym floor, and those will be replaced. The bleachers on the stage will be replaced also. Central gyms, getting some new paint. And then at the big project at the high school, and I've talked about this a little bit over the past year, we're going to be finishing the drywall, drop ceiling, and carpeting in the main hallway at the high school this summer. Our guys are doing that work, getting a little support with mudding, but we'll be doing all the electrical with the lighting and the hanging the drywall, putting the carpeting. That'll be all our guys on the maintenance crew. And we also have maintenance and transportation equipment, looking at possibly purchasing a new mower. Our mower that we have now that we really, it runs every day, all day long in the summer, summer and fall. We're going to get a replacement for that. I think we're on year 12 or 13 with that, and so we're going to be replacing that mower. And then just a heads up for the future, looking out into the future, probably a need for an activity bus at some point down the road, maybe an additional van or Suburban. And then we'll probably also need to maybe look at a route bus in the next couple of years. We don't know if we'll buy new. We've had some luck buying used yellow buses. So when we saw our route buses or our yellow buses, you know, sometimes you can pick those up with 25, 35,000 miles on them, and you can get them at a pretty good discount. So we might be looking at used route buses there. And then we also, just some things that we wanted the board to have on their radar. Again, senior high plumbing, that's something that we're saving for in special building. Outdoor lighting at Wyland Field at some point down the road is going to have to be addressed. And also high school locker rooms, or just some of the big projects that we have out in the future that we are starting to save for or have been saving for some of these in our depreciation accounts or special building. And so we'll be working on those into the future. So that was Mr. Gross on the on facilities. I kind of reported on programs. Let me pull that report up. And so programs, facilities obviously has to do with our grounds, our buildings and grounds. Programs have to do with what courses we offer our students and what programs we offer our students or how we operate within those programs. And so the main part of this meeting that we had committee meeting that we had with programs committee was focused on grading scales. We've been talking about this for the course of the year. We met as a committee to kind of review the different types of grading scales are out there. There isn't just one grading scale used by all school districts in the state of Nebraska. So we looked at several of the different types of grading scales that are commonly found in the state of Nebraska. We also did an information seeking activity. We asked all the teachers in the high school to provide us, actually across the district, but we got responses from the high school teachers for input on grading scales. So we shared those different types of grading scales with the teachers, asked them to review them, and then asked several questions. And they responded and gave those answers back to the programs committee. The programs committee members read through each of those responses and then also identified some consensus between those different teacher inputs. Discussed parent stakeholder input. We got some information from parents at different points in time throughout the school year, different groups of parents, asking them about grading and what they would like to see with the grading scales. And then discussed what's the relationship between what the teachers are looking for, which are really that voice is incredibly important. Teachers are the ones that assign grades. They have to believe in it. And one of the things that we really are looking for and the teachers believe is absolutely necessary. So we need a balance with the grading scale between opportunities for students to be competitive in the scholarship world, but also balance that against with rigor, making sure that the grading scale doesn't lessen the expectations to the extent that it will negatively impact student learning. And so the research really shows if your grading scale is too easy, kids don't work as hard. They'll go for that lower bar, so to speak. It's just human nature. And so when they take this, any type of normed reference, standardized reference assessment, they don't perform as well. So we want to make sure that students are still achieving high academic levels on the ACT and NSCAS assessments and MAP growth assessments, but also provide an opportunity for students to be competitive in the scholarship world. So we don't want to hinder the students, but at the same time, we want to make sure they're still learning as much as they're learning today. And, you know, obviously our goal is more. And so we discussed that at length. We also agreed we weren't able to make a decision on what we wanted to do yet. We see that we're going to have to talk about this a little bit more moving into the future. A timeline on when we might have a decision put before the Board of Education for approval is probably around the month of June. So we're going to take some more time, read some more research, look at some more, a little bit more input, and then probably decide later on. Also talked about in that programs committee, science. We have a couple of science program classes that have been recommended to the group. The first one is a forensics class, and a forensics class would allow kids to really think, focus on getting kids to think conceptually, using those strong cognitive muscle skills or muscles in their brain. Okay, that's not true, obviously, but it gets them to really analyze and think critically. Use a little bit of chemistry involved with that. That was approved by the programs committee. They saw it as a valuable class to add. And then also a research class. And again, another course that a science teachers would have liked to add that would force students to think critically about a topic. They'd have to, what is it they want to research? In the scientific method, we try to teach in every class that we have, but this is really putting the scientific method into practice, into action, and getting kids to identify a problem, create a hypothesis, then do literal research and on that. And you see us, we do that across in other courses, but this class would be dedicated to that. So kids that would take this course would really be developing those critical thinking skills. And so that was obviously approved by the programs committee as well. Then also a new English course, or not a new English course, but sort of bringing back an English course that we once had at the high school, and that's a literature class. And so the English department proposed the addition of a literature course that would be also dual credit. The state of Nebraska, McCook Public Schools, we're all focused on developing literacy skills. This fits into some of our goals. I'm going to talk a little bit later about goals that the school district has set. Literacy is one of our goals. Reading comprehension is one of our, proficiency is one of our goals. And so this fits in really well with our goals, with the state goals. And again, literature courses are going to ask you to think deeply about what the author's meanings are, metaphors, analogies, all those types of things. Again, we're trying to enhance critical thinking, and that was also approved by the programs committee. After that, went into my report. I start off with school improvement. I wanted to talk to the Board of Education. We've kind of done a lot of work this year in school improvement. We started off before the schools or before the students even entered our classrooms in August. School improvement met to discuss the fact that we had to come up with two new goals. We're in year one of our school improvement process. Last year was year five, did an external team report. This year's year one, so we have to identify new goals, and so that's what we've done. And a lot of work's been done to get to this point, and that work involves talking to people, collecting data, researching that, or analyzing that data, and making decisions based off of that. So you got to find some issues that you believe that you can interventions towards to improve. And so we've identified two goals, one in literacy and one in math. And I'll read those come up again later in the board meeting during action items, and I'll read off what those goals are. I also reported on student support programs and across our school system. We have interventions that are put in place for kids that aren't keeping up maybe with their peers. We start with the PLC process with our PLC teams. That's a group of fifth grade teachers. If you have a student or some students that aren't learning the content, you start strategizing interventions at that point. And then that moves on. If that doesn't work, if that group needs more support, then they can take it to a SAT or a PRTI team, which are more teachers from within the building. So you start with maybe you're just your fifth grade teachers. And then when you go to the SAT team or the PRTI team, you might be working with your fourth grade teachers in that building. So we're talking about central, let's say, and maybe a school psychologist, you have an administrator there, and maybe a special education teacher, and you're all working to try to create interventions to help those students get caught up with their peers. And so there's sort of this layered effect or tiered effect of support structures for kids if they start falling behind. And I wanted to let the board know how that process works. After that, you might, even after the SAT or the PRTI team doesn't find an intervention that's effective, then you might start talking about special education supports or something along those lines. So again, another tier of support. Also wanted to give a couple legislation updates. I wanted to talk a little bit about LB 1050, which is a proposal it would be mandatory for public schools across the state of Nebraska to retain third grade students who do not demonstrate proficiency on a state reading assessment. And so I wanted to make sure that the board was aware that that's still being discussed at the legislative level and that there are very few exceptions to that. So basically what this means, if a student on the state assessment does not get the proficiency score, by state statute, the school district would be required to retain them in third grade. And so I think that should be known to folks. And it doesn't, I'm the type of administrator that believes that there are times when you retain. I like to follow the research base, or the research for when those decisions are made. I would just say that my commentary would be that this isn't necessarily doing that. This is just sort of a blanket approach where if a student doesn't pass a test, they're held back. And there's usually more It's more nuanced than that when it comes to, into reality. So there is a bit of a concern, but I think people need to be aware that that's out there. There could possibly be changes made to it, and I believe that there should be, and we'll see what happens moving forward. Also, I wanted to talk to the board about LB 1219. It's a proposal on property tax levy growth for political subdivisions, so it's not just schools. It's all political subdivisions being capped at 2% baseline plus real growth, and that's a pretty small percentage, and so I think folks need to be aware that that's out there as well. And also, one commentary I had is with LB 1050, there's a requirement for students that are retained. They're to be put in, provided special programs, smaller classes when they are in their second year of retention, or their after their second year in third grade, and they need to be exposed to specific programs, which is more expensive, which would require more district resources. So you have a bill that's saying we want you're going to need to spend more money against a bill that's going to try to cap how much you spend. So they kind of are in conflict with each other. Also, the business moving on to the business manager's report. We are February, for the month of February, we had 14,005 meals served. After our financials, after 50% of the fiscal year, we're revenues are 55, expenses 51. All funds, year-to-date revenue is 54% and expenses 52%. We've had some facilities updates, which we already talked about a little bit. And we're on track for this current year. We always have more expenses during the school year, and expenses drop off as we enter into the summer. We just don't spend as much money during the summer months. And that is, I believe that's all the committee reports. I think I got them all. So,
and facilities, you already went on. Yeah, we talked a lot of facilities.
I talked about that. Yeah, we're good on that. Talked about programs, gave my report, and gave the business manager's report. So we're on a new business.
New business. He got some resignations and contract approvals, too.
Yeah, we had a resignation from Jacob Albrecht, and he has been with us for a year and a half. He's currently our band teacher. He's done an amazing job, but he wanted to get a little bit closer to his family in Kearney. So he has accepted a position to a community closer to where he's from. We also accepted a resignation from Laura Noakes. Laura's going to be going to Southwest Public Schools next year, and wish her well. She's worked with us for a long time. She's been, I think, 27 years, and most recently she's been at St. Pat's, working in their special education classrooms and title program. And so we'll miss her, but we wish her well in her new adventure. And then we approved a contract for Katie Taylor as a special education student teacher. So due to the fact that we need to bring a student teacher on, we've worked out a special arrangement with her and through the university. We'll be bringing her on as a contracted employee while she finishes up her education at the University of Nebraska. She's a McCook graduate, outstanding kid, outstanding family, very excited about bringing her on board here at McCook Public Schools. And so that was approved last night. I already talked a little bit about the NOR trip that Mrs. Fisher's taking some students on during the summer of 2027 to Honduras, and that was approved last night by the Board of Education. And then one thing that haven't talked about yet is last night the board approved a 3-year contract with Clifton and Larson Allen LLP. CPAs for our auditing services, and they'll be working with KSO, which was our old auditors. They'll be doing some of the number crunching after Clinton Larson comes into McCook and goes through our books. So, really happy to have found someone that was willing to do our audit. KSO decided we're not doing school audits anymore, and we talked kind of at length about that last night at the board meeting. Folks need to understand that it's very, very expensive to do a school audit. It's around $40,000, and that I commented that the cost of a school audit has quadrupled since I became a superintendent here in McCook. When I came in, it was around $11,000. Now it's near $42,000, $43,000. In that 16-year time frame. The reason being is that state and federal regulator or statutes and laws have forced auditors to look at more than they've ever had to before. It goes down to not just auditing our books, our financial records, but they also will go and audit our classroom attendance. So we take attendance of a classroom, and third grade, Mrs. Doe's class. We say there's 28. The auditor goes in, make sure there's 28. We don't have a class that size, but if we did, whatever that number is. Mr. Gross shared last night that we bought a special education bus. They have to go over and make sure that the VIN number on the special education bus matches what's in the record. So the audit is incredibly detailed, and because of that, it's become very laborious for the auditors, and it's become very expensive for the schools. And so that's one of the reasons these costs have gone up on us. And so we're very glad that we found a company. We've sent out an RFP. We had one bid to look at, and that's from Clifton Larson. If they weren't interested in doing it, I don't know what we'd be doing right now. It'd be a little probably scrambling trying to find someone else, obviously.
Where are they based at? You just say?
Right. We did the RFP, and we have this Clifton and Larson. They're out of Denver, Colorado. Okay. So nobody in the state of Nebraska, no CPA office in the state of Nebraska was interested in doing the audit. Hmm. And we did get we did talk to some other schools that use this company, and they do like them, but it just seems like, you know, there's no competition there, so it's expensive too. That raises the price as well. Also, we have we approved a cooperative sponsorship for swim and dive. We've had one with Southwest Public Schools, but we're adding in Hitchcock County. We talked a little bit. This only helps us. It's good for the kids in our area who want to participate in swim and dive. It's good for the program. It adds competition within the program. And also, it doesn't impact us negatively because swim and dive we are Class A in swim and dive, so adding student populations, it doesn't matter. You can't. It's not going to kick us out of Class A, so we're good with that. And that was approved. We accepted a donation from NMB Bank from the Bison debit card program in the amount of $1,359. Very appreciative to NMB and their continuous support of McCook Public Schools, and this is just one of the many examples that NMB supports our kids and our teachers and our community. And thank you for that. And then also approved the school calendar for the 26-27 school year. The calendar is going to look, it's very similar to this year's, except the Christmas break is different. The Christmas break is going to have fewer days before Christmas off. I think this year we had close to 5 or 6 days off. Next year, we will go to school on Monday and Tuesday of the Christmas week because I think Christmas is on, it's either Friday or...
It's on Friday, yeah.
It's on Friday. So there's a couple of days we're going to go to school then, but there'll be a little bit, we'll come back a little bit later in January than we did this year. So the break is the same length. It's just going to be, the days off are going to be a little bit different. So plan accordingly.
Sure.
Might be able to make it to some bowl games, you know, next year.
If it happens.
A little later in January.
If it happens, yep.
Yeah. And then that was approved. And then approved the reading and math school improvement goals. And so I'm going to read these really quickly. It's important for the school to share these. Our first goal is reading. Over the next 5 years, the district will increase the percentage of students meeting or exceeding grade level reading proficiency by strengthening literacy skill development and improving the quality consistency of reading instruction across all grade levels. That's our first goal. Our second goal is math. Over the next 5 years, the district will improve student mathematics achievement by strengthening pre-algebraic skills with a specific emphasis on one-step problem solving across grade levels. And so those are going to be the two goals we'll be working on for the remainder of this year and then in the next 5 years. We'll be investing time and support structures to enhance reading and math across the school system, across the grade levels.
We're already to positive comments from last night. You bet.
All right. Start off with Quinn, our student board member. Wanted to thank the school for the plan, our school improvement plan, and the process that went. Wanted to comment how great the North Trip plan is and how excited he is for our kids that are going to participate in that, and also FFA state qualifiers and the two presenters who were very impressive. Scott said the FFA group was a really fun group to watch them grow because both Carson and Bryson have come in over the years and you've seen them develop their skill sets over time. And so it's been fun to see them grow in their professionalism. Also, thanks to Mr. Nargard and Mr. Gross for the work that we've done with getting our program, all of our committees. There's a lot of work that goes into those committees before the committee meeting even happens, and thank us for the work that happens there. And also that Lynn Kinney was a very impactful teacher. We were able to attend her funeral yesterday. Lynn was with us. She retired at the end of last school year. Such an impactful teacher. She'll be deeply missed. She's had a huge impact on kids, and it was so nice to hear some of her students speak about her yesterday at the funeral. Very touching, a little hard to get through, to be honest with you, but it was a wonderful teacher, amazing impact. Teachers really impact the world. Amanda talked about the FFA and how impressive the group is, and to have over 30 qualifiers for state, and said their basketball teams did a great job, and congrats to the wrestlers and Tristan, who placed at the state wrestling meet. Mike commented on the improvements with facilities and staying within our boundaries. By what he means by that is watching the fiscal dollars that are associated with those projects and all the work that we do to save year after year so we can pay for those. And good to see progress happening across the community. So he commented on all the projects that are taking place. It's nice to see McCook improving. Also, he talked about the opportunity for our kids in the area to swim and dive. That was very positive and felt great about the NOR trip. Jeff appreciate and celebrate Lynn Kinney and the work that she has done for our students and her love of working with our students and helping with Special Olympics. She was a great family person. She adopted many kids into her life as if they were family, and that really showed in the impact she had on her kids. And Jeff worked with her for years and really appreciated and valued Lynn very, very much, as we all do. Brad said it was lucky enough to meet McCook Public's. Oh, he talked about his grandchild being born that the hope that in 18 years she'll be able to graduate from McCook High School as a McCook graduate. And so congrats to Brad and his family. And then I was invited to and attended the FFA jacket ceremony. I went to that. Just an incredibly impressive group of kids. I highly encourage students to participate in FFA, even if you don't look at maybe you don't think right now you're going into agriculture, you might change your mind. Go into that FFA program. Get involved. Those kids are outstanding. They are future leaders in whatever career they choose just because of the skill sets they've developed in FFA. And that was my positive comment.
A lot of good information again last night.
I know. I went a little long. Sorry.
It's okay. But No problem at all. Next meeting, April the 13th.
That's correct. Yep.
And just think, April the 13th, and you've got one more month after that.
I know. It scares me. We need more time. We don't have enough time.
I know. If you know Mr. Norgard over the years of talking on Tuesday, he wouldn't mind going the entire summer season, wouldn't you?
Oh, we just have so much we have to get done, and it really is a time constraint, to be honest with you, but we try to get it all done.
Exactly right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, okay?
Sounds good.